help, because I cannot draw. But here, Mary Ellen's husband drew something, and then
you have
Valerie,
to speak into this. Yeah.
And then Valerie okay, drew something. I'm a little bit smaller. Can you hear me now?
You have to go pretty close to the stage.
Pretty close. Okay.
That's better.
I said, first of all, I'm overwhelmed about you Texas friends here. I'm overwhelmed. I've never seen any group like this, and I have seen many. You see how old I am. I'm the oldest of the branch at the moment with Sister Romel ahead of me. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, talk
closer to you.
Like that?
Yeah.
You have to almost talk.
My goodness. Okay, I'll try. And so, it was pretty much you already got till now, didn't you think so? And in our life, there are so many different facets, excuse me. And so what we battled at the moment and what we threw in the ocean and is covered is one of our sins this morning, or a whole bunch, a whole group. But there are other things that are pressing us down. And I'm a little bit too close. And so, so first of all, I wanted to go again, what we just heard, and I got three things in while I was in Germany. I came just back a little bit a week ago, and I wanted to share it with you because I thought you're so precious, and what blessed me might bless you too. And some of you probably have heard that already. Also, sometimes it we are high up. We are just on cloud nine, and everything is beautiful. So we are high up. Then something comes. Boom, we go down. And we think, I don't know your stories, but we know about the story of Joseph in the Bible. And so he was pretty much high up. And the others had to bow down. He had that dream, and he knew he was superior above his brothers. They didn't like that. They threw him in the deep ditch. But he got out of the ditch. Here he's up again. But next thing comes. He's being sold into Egypt as a slave. That's not a good thing. Down he goes. But then God is always with him because he keeps up what he has learned. And from childhood on, and he trusts in his God, and he gets to be Potiphar's manager of his whole household. Can you imagine a little bit your own life, up and down and up and down? And then Potiphar's wife accuses him, and he goes to prison. On he goes. And then he gets with his dreams of the baker and the cupbearer, and he is being pulled up again out of prison. So, and you may have even more up and down and up and down, and this is the normal Christian life. But the main thing is, are we staying with God and trusting him, or are we staying down in the ditch and it is terribly and horrible and I never come out of it? No, God pulls us out if we trust in him. And you know what at the end it is? You get the crown in heaven. So, the next time you are down, trust God and He will pull you up. But this is our personal story, but sometimes we are so depressed, and when I think one time in Germany, with all the news I heard, all of a sudden it came like a big black blanket over me, and it really drained me of my strength, and it was very hard. And maybe that happens to you too. And when we think of what the children have to go through, and Mary Ellen, you have just a little story.
Well, we have a lot of grandchildren, but a group of them, five of them, were homeschooled, and this year, three of the five.
So this is only one little facet. Wait a minute, I think it was down and up there. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Okay. So I just want to tell you a story. A story from Switzerland.
Speak loud.
Speak loud. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Great. I'll just speak loud. So in Switzerland was a tour guide high up in the mountains. And he brought people over, you know, over the pass. And so one day he had a whole group, but then he stayed behind and the group went on. And all of a sudden, because they were, as I said, high up where glaciers are, and glaciers move, and when the pressure is too hard, a new crevasse comes into being, and he did not know that. Anyway, he fell into one. And he had no pick, and he fell into the crevasse. And there he was, and it was very depressing. He just sat there and was thinking over his life and what happens now if he has to die, and it got colder. And then he was a Christian. He started very lowly to sing a little bit. But while he, in all his depression, took that effort to start to sing a little bit, the more he sang, the more his focus got on God, and the louder he sang, and he got some hope. And here you see. So, then some of his group noticed he was missing, and they were searching all over the place, and they did hear the singing. He got louder and louder. And they yelled down there, "Are you there, Freddie?" "Yeah." "Pull me up." So they pulled him up, and then one of the men said, "Have you become crazy down there, singing? What do you think?" He said, "No, I'm not crazy. But the singing helped me to think of God and that He can do miracles and that He can help me." And so he was rescued out. Another time, this same tour guide led a young man up the mountain pass, and he had a little boy on his shoulders. And he told the tour guide, "I am going to my parents with my little boy. My wife has died in Italy, and I'm going home." And then snow blizzard came, and they couldn't go very much further, but happily up there was a monastery, and they took him in for the night. And in the night, the man died, the young man. So the tour guide, the monks couldn't take this little boy, so the tour guide took the little boy. And they had no name, no nothing of the man who died. The only thing he had was a little mandolin. So we call him now, the tour guide is now the grandfather for that little boy. And he raised him. And the little boy loved to play, especially on the little creek and make little water wheels. And he loved his grandfather, and the grandfather knew a little bit guitar, so he showed him a little few things, and they sang in the evening, sitting in front of their cabin, looking at the beautiful mountains and the sunset and the Alp glow, and it was a very happy time. And when he was 12 years old, the grandfather said to the little boy, he has been now 12, not too little, we have to leave here. The owner of the cabin needs this place now for her daughter, and it's the best thing, you leave now, right away, while there is harvest time. You are strong, and you can certainly help a little bit and get your living and get a place to live. So the next morning, the boy already leaves and asks, but can I take the mandolin along with me? Yes, surely you can. And he gave him some, you know, sandwiches, and off he went. He went down, all the way down to the next village, and he saw the people there doing the haying, and he asked one farmer after the other, can I come and help here? I'm strong. I can do things. And they all looked at him, and then when they saw the mandolin, they said, you are a vagabond. We don't want you. And so the boy touched on from one place to the other and got more disheartened the more he was rejected. And then even evening came, and he was very, very sad and hungry and had no place to go. And he sat down at the edge of the street and just cried. He cried out his heart. And it was, he had no hope where to go, what to do. And then he thought of his grandfather. Oh, if I only could be back with him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sit there with him and we would sing songs. And what they loved to sing was, and we have to sing it without the piano because they had no piano. And this came to his mind, and he started singing very softly. And while he was singing it, he also got a little bit more comforted, and he connected with God, and he got new hope. So let's sing together. Oh Lord, my God, can you see it a little bit? He remembered the story of his grandfather, and he called him grandfather, and that God rescued him out of a crevasse, and so he will help him too. So he got up and he marched on, and it was twilight and getting towards dark, and all of a sudden he came towards a mill, and he saw a big water wheel, you know, that was anyway his treasures. And he stood there mesmerized. He looked at that wheel and looked at that wheel, and then came the miller out. And the miller looked at the boy and liked him, that he was so admiring his water wheel. But then he saw the mandolin, and he said to him, what do you want here? And he said, well, maybe I could help here, and I could stay with you. And the miller looked him up and down, and then seeing the mandolin, he said, you are just a vagabond, and we surely don't want you. Go fast as you can, or I send my dogs behind you. And the little boy left a little bit, and the wife came out of the house because she heard her husband yelling at this little boy. And she said to the boy, come with me. And she got him in the house, and she saw that he was, you know, already a long day on the way. And she said, I'm sure you're hungry, aren't you? Oh, yes. And she gave him milk and bread and cheese. And she said, you stay with us tonight. And she heard that he had left the old man, the grandfather, and that he was looking for work. And she thought, I can just use him. He can do a lot of little jobs. So she said, you can stay here overnight. I show you where you can sleep. But the mandolin my husband doesn't like, we put that up. And she put it high up in a cabinet and closed the door. the cabinet store, and then she gave him a place to sleep. And the husband wasn't too happy about, but the little boy proved to be very, very excellent, had a good sharp mind, and was doing exactly what she said, and in no time. And so she liked him very much. But the miller continued to say, "You'll see such vagabonds, they will just leave again, and all of a sudden, and they are gone." And she said, "No, he's different." And one time he went in the, was then taken in the mill, and he looked at all the things, and he was so aghast of all these wonderful things. And then he looked intently at one wheel, and the belt was pretty loose, and so the wheel went very slow. And he said, "If that belt would be a little bit tighter, you know, it would produce more at the end." And the miller looked at the guy who was normally running that place there, that section, and he said, "You should have seen that a long time ago." And anyway, now the miller loved the boy, the wife loved the boy, and all of a sudden, after 4 weeks, the boy said, "I have to leave. I have to go to my grandfather. I must go to my grandfather." And the wife said, "No, you just stay here, and you have it good here, and you have everything. You just stay with him. I have to go. I really have to go. I can't stay here another day. I have to go tomorrow." And finally, the wife said, "Okay." And in the morning, she hands him down his mandolin, and all of a sudden, she becomes snow white. And she looks at the mandolin, and engraved are the two initials of her son. And the son had left with his mandolin years ago when he was 18 and was never seen and heard about. And she just rushes to her husband and says, "I'm going to go with him. I'm going to go with him. I'll be back, but I'm going to go with him." And so they take more food and they take some money. And she says, "This man who raised the boy, he must know where he got, where he bought the mandolin, and maybe we can find out something." Well, anyway, they go with the wagon up the long way into the mountains and go to the grandfather, and he is so happy to see his boy. And he says, "Tomorrow I have to leave here. That's the day when the lady comes." And then the wife, the miller's wife, says, "And tell us the story about the mandolin." And then he tells that he led that young man up the hill, and that he just said he would go to his parents with the boy, and the wife has died, and then he himself died. So she knew that was her grandson. Mm-hmm. And coming down, and she said to the grandfather, "You have to stay with us." And so the story ends very happily. And I thought, first of all, the grandfather, I should be calling grandfather, but he wasn't the real one, in a crevasse, he sinks. And if ever you are in a crevasse, let's sing. And when we just sang these victory songs, it lifts you up, doesn't it?
Yes.
It lifts you up. And because it connects us with Jesus. And therefore, I have here some Bible verses, and I just read them to you. It says, "The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." You know, others just make fists against God and curse, and they do not take their refuge in him. Or Psalm 50:15, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you, and you will honor, praise me." Psalm 107. 6 and 8. "Then they cried out to the Lord," and he surely cried, this man. He cried out to the Lord in their trouble. "He delivered them out of their distresses." Let's give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Sometimes we think there is no hope. As in my situation is so unique and so terrible, there is no hope. No, God does miracles. And then I like this one very much. Before they call, I will answer. And out of the depth, I cry to thee, O Lord, hear my voice. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with thee and abundant redemption. So it's for the inwardly and for the outwardly. And this story I learned in Germany, so I thought I would like to share that with you. Because we fall again and again in crevasses. Sometimes, crevasse? I don't know the plural.
You were correct.
Sometimes they are smaller and sometimes they are very large and we cannot get out ourselves. And Mother Basilea taught us something.
Could you give us more of those verses where they're found?
You were reading. You can afterwards.
Oh, well, we can't see. You're standing.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Should I read it now or could you afterwards copy? That's good? Okay. Mother Basilea taught us something, and also in a little visual thing. She said, we are falling down in big, deep holes, in crevasse. And what gets you out is that you have a pick. If you have a pick, you can get out of it. So, what is your pick? What is your pick? The pick is a little tiny book, and I don't know how you call this. It's not a notebook. It has sometimes calendar pages in it. You know, it's only that small. And you have to write some verses or some Bible verses or song verses in about the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus. These are all powerful. And you don't need to have many. And if you put them in alphabetical order, that's only what I do, you can remember them easier. And then she said, you always need to know where your pick is. That you don't have it in that drawer or over there, and then when you all of a sudden need it, you are depressed, you are sitting there, and you don't want to move very much. The banners are big help to walk around and swing them to get you out of it. And you need to know where your pick is. And you have to have it always. And you know, the times are getting not easier. At the moment, we all have maybe a little bit, again, a breathing time. But the things, according to the Bible, do not get easier. And we need to have some iron rations, you say, or we have to be prepared. And that was why I sent you the email to learn one verse by heart of the Bible and one song verse. Not that you stand up in front of here and then you sing it and say, I can do it. No, it was for your heart. And that when sometimes we think we are now already older and we cannot learn so easily by heart. Okay, if it's not so easily, it takes us 2 weeks till we want to know one verse, but know it almost in our sleep. Wherever we are, if it's dark or light, we can, you know, we have that in us. And so, and also by learning by heart, it becomes more and more precious to you, and you get much more out of it. And because we have a heavenly festival this evening, I thought that's a little bit of preparation. If you have only one song verse, one Bible verse, it's already a lot. And in your little pick, which you can make, and just put a few in there, and maybe after a while a few more or so, up to you, doesn't need many, but you need something. You need to be prepared and have it in your heart. And my last thing is, It was so special that I thought I have to tell that at the beginning. When you have a heavy burden, and it happened once to me in the mother house too, it was so heavy, and especially also when you get older, it can be overwhelming what's right in front of you or what you anticipate or so, and your physical strength also leaves you. I don't know if anybody of you has experienced that. And it was in a sermon, and that he wasn't even a preacher. And he said, think of a yoke. And the Lord Jesus also says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your soul and also for your body. For I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you can look up Matthew 11:29-30. And it helped me so immensely. If I'm yoked with the Lord, then the Lord, and that's what he said, he takes the main part of the load. He takes the heavy part. And then he said, and you are just like in a... Phyllis, what is it? A gondola, a lift with a lift. Yeah, a gondola. Can you imagine yourself with the Lord Jesus next to you, and a yoke is so close, and he is right there, and he carries the heavy load, and I'm in the gondola? Yeah. And so I thought we need also always something to look forward, and this way to look to the Lord. And the Lord Jesus himself, you know, he was wrestling in Gethsemane. And he asked God, help him, and if possible, let not this cup, let it pass by me, that I must not drink it. Let it pass, if possible, let it pass. But I will do your will. And the Lord Jesus took the cup, and God heard his prayer. And we always need to know, that's what I tell the little kids, either God changes the situation in which you are, if you call to him, or he makes you strong to go through. He made Jesus strong to go through all the things of being taken prisoner, scourging, crowning of thorns, carrying the cross, the crucifixion he could endure. And he says on his way by carrying the cross, for the joy that was set before him, he endured. And what was his joy? The joy was when he has finished his work, there would be resurrection and ascension. And he said to the Pharisees, I am the Son of God, and I will, the Son of Man, and you will see me sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One. That was his joy. He would sit at the right hand of the Mighty One and the bride he has redeemed. He was looking forward to the bride he has redeemed. The bride fails, is full of sin, but the bride that comes to him, he redeems. He does everything. And that brings us to our festival tonight. And you do not know too much about it, and neither did I when I was in Germany, but they had a very beautiful festival. And it was not just heaven with some arches and singing and walking through. It was, I have to back up. You know, little children, they play to be mom and dad. They play to be teachers. They play to be preachers and have a congregation. They play weddings. So we tonight will try to imagine a little bit. Now our imagination is so poorly compared to what it will be in heaven. But we try to imagine to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That is the main thing we are looking forward in heaven. And as we will do like children, you know, just a very little bit, a very little bit. But I hope that you all look a little bit forward for tonight. Mm-hmm. And Sister Domitila, she told me a little bit, but I did not know all about how it was with the basket and the sin. So, we are sisters, we had the same idea. Just in another way, but it's the same thing. But when you come to heaven, they said that you, in the old medieval art, they had pictures where people are coming up to heaven, and then you see a heavenly gate, and behind there must be so much glory, and by the gate is an angel, and he gives you a new robe. But, and you see that on the picture, and you will see it tonight, but the first man who is up there, and the men are called Bride of Jesus Christ, because it has nothing to do with a woman or a man. So it is a new thinking of you probably, but you are just called to the Bride of Jesus Christ, because whole Jerusalem is called the Bride Comes Down. And if the Bride comes down, everybody who is in the city must be a bride. So anyway, there is a man coming up to that angel, and he took off already his shirt, and he's getting the new thing. So we cannot take our shirts off, but I thought we can take this as a kind of sin, wrap it around our wrist, and then when we come to heaven, that can be taken off, right? And now that's where we are saying, this is Domitila and I. We glued in a white paper, and you can write something in that you do not want to take into heaven. Mm-hmm. And it will come in a wonderful big brass pot. Nobody will see it. And it comes, the brass pot has a black plastic bag, and as soon as everybody has theirs in, the plastic bag is wrapped and thrown away. So nobody will read that. Have I made this clear? Do you understand? No. It's time, girl. So, now comes something, my last thing. Thank you.
But it's very short.
Well, we have to give this out, right?
Wait a minute. Yeah. And so that you... Would you like to take out the tip? Thank you. You have rest time today after lunch. Rest. And then you have quiet time till 3. And
30.
3:30. And you all get a booklet, The Bride of Jesus Christ. You can't read the whole booklet in your free time, in your meditation time. Therefore, you have a little note on front. It says page 37, but it means that's the beginning of that chapter.
But well, it doesn't all say page 37. They all have a different page, because this says 34 and this says 26.
Okay.
And Sister Daniela has decorated them with jewels. This is a special edition.
Thank you. So it's a special invitation.
Okay. Okay, we will stand out there.
Okay, well done.